After we had traveled as if forever across the dry, parched land of the Cimarron Cutoff, we awoke one morning to find the air filled with a cool, misty rain. In late afternoon, we saw smoke from a dozen Indian lodges and Indian children playing in the drizzle.
And that gray day, we saw the wild geese flying southward, huge, graceful birds streaming overhead, the sky full of beating wings. Even today, it seems I can see them sailing down the vast corridor of the clouds.
That evening, Captain Aubrey sat at our campfire and told us we were now in the New Mexico Territory.
This is the land where only the brave or the criminal come, called a land without law, but one that has brought healing to the hearts of many. Many invalids have been in my caravans, but before reaching Santa Fe, they were eating buffalo meat raw and sleeping soundly under their blankets. There's something in the air in New Mexico that makes the blood red, the heart to beat high, and the eyes to look upward.
When it links, we reached the New Mexico line. Many a cheer went up, some in prose, some in rhyme, to the enormous territory traveled through and to the greater one we were just entering.
In mid-afternoon, we saw beyond the blue mists to the white-capped Sangre de Cristo Mountains, eventually coming to a gap in the stone wall where we drove through a natural gateway. God, it seemed, had decided to let us into the garden.
When branches fork, we make a choice for better or for worse, according to conditions met, a blessing or a curse.
Sometimes the rattan pass we cross, sometimes another bear. Sometimes we take the northern route, sometimes a southern dare.
On the summit, the train ahead of us was disputing with Dick Wooten about the tolls, until Uncle Dick came out with his so-called tax collector, the barrel of which was about as long as a fence rail.
When we reached Fort Union, the tired mules were turned out to graze and freight unloaded. The parade ground was filled with bales of buffalo hides, blankets, and sheep pelts waiting to load on the eastbound train.
My own life story and the story of Fort Union have been strangely interwoven. Years after my first journey, I arose trembling as soldiers arrived on either side of a caravan. A dusty Lieutenant Richard D. Russell, sweeping me a grand gesture, had returned to his waiting bride.
At parties out from camp, we danced and flirted with the native damsels over glasses of the ever-present white wine until the approach of dawn, with its rosy light, warned us to take saddleback to Fort Union, ready to answer to our names when the roll was called at sunrise. Frank Oldsmith.
Colonel Kit Carson was in command at Fort Union. Often he told us how he had come west in 1826 and fallen in love with this wild and beautiful land. Years later, word reached us at Tecolote of Colonel Carson's death. The happy warrior. How can I think of him as a bundle of dust in Taos Cemetery? He is hawk wings against a western sky, a living soul launched out upon a sea of light.
We can see the mountains covered with snow peaks in white clouds, with forests along the base. We stopped about 5 miles from Las Vegas and went to the hot springs in a place called Montezuma.
I could not eat a dish so strong and unaccustomed to my palate as that strange stew called chili verde, served in that New Mexican town called Las Vegas. And the lack of cutlery. What were we supposed to do? Scoop up our food with bits of tortilla? My husband called for something else, finding me some roasted corn and a simply fried egg to complete my meal.
From Las Vegas, the trail to Santa Fe wound between mesas and mountains, a route of great beauty, yet rugged in storms, crossing the Pecos, winding up over Glorieta Pass, and then the last downhill roll to Santa Fe.
The caravan stopped to freshen up before rolling into town. A fresh shirt, a wash and trim, and fresh poppers on the ends of the whips, then on into Santa Fe, that glow over the hill.